I'm gonna try not to get emotional, because I am the sum total of everyone I've ever met, and so lucky I absorbed some of it. I just want to say thank you to the Hollywood Foreign Press. It's incredible. Last time I was here, I was 1977. I was kind of hit by tumbleweed. It was a bit a long time ago. It was like a different situation, and the view is so beautiful now. I want to thank my wife and my children, Sophia, Scarlett, and Sistine, because actually having your love is the greatest award in the world every day. And, of course, I want to thank, first of all, Adam Bennett, William Morris, Endeavor. Incredible for making me do this. I'd like to thank MGM, Gary Barber, Jonathan Glickman for sticking to the gums. And I want to thank the legendary producers, Irwin Winkler and Bob Schardoff, who actually mortgaged his house to take a chance on a mumbling actor and give me the shot of a lifetime. And I want to thank very much William Morris, Kevin Sujihara, incredible Sue Kroll, Dan Feldman, and of course, Toby Emmerich. Thank you very, very much. And most of all, I want to thank my imaginary friend, Rocky Balboa, for being the best friend I ever had.
Hello and welcome to Slycast, the Sylvester Stallone fan podcast. The podcast where we celebrate and analyze the career of Sylvester Stallone. And what better time to celebrate the career of Sylvester Stallone than the past couple of months. And as always, I am joined by Jeff Ferry.
Yo, Adrian, I got a Golden Globe.
Jeff Hewlett.
I have never in my life intentionally watched a red carpet event before this Golden Globes, just so I could see Sly walking in.
And Mike Kunda.
Previously on The Contender.
All right, so as Jeff Ferry alluded to it, and I'm sure if you're listening to this, you know, Sylvester Stallone won the Golden Globe for Best Supporting Actor for Creed this past weekend. And more importantly, this morning, he was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for his portrayal of Rocky Balboa in Creed. Mike, what are your feelings on this past month?
This has been an unbelievable experience, and I'm sure we're all going to piggyback each other, but I will tell you, I was going into Sunday night cool, calm, collected, no problem. 12 seconds before J.K. Simmons comes out and to read off my heart palpitations. I thought I was going to die. I got clammy and sweaty. I got so sick to my stomach that he was going to lose. And then when Arquette turns that card around, Sylvester Stallone Creed, I was like, oh, it's just jumping, screaming, like how many other fans, and my wife, the same thing. She may have quite possibly been more excited than I was, and she must have rewound it on the TiVo like 37 times. Unbelievable. So if that's not enough, he gets the standing ovation.
Yes.
Yep.
Boys, the standing ovation, the love. It's like maybe he went the action icon route, so he kind of got away from the acting, but what Rocky has given us over the decades came crashing down in a resounding thank you ball of love for Stallone, and I was so overcome. So if that's not enough, Craig, just as you said, my God, this morning we're listening and Sylvester gets the nod, the last one announced for the Oscar. I mean, I put a 12-second video up on Facebook of me screaming in the background and laughing that he got nominated. What say you?
not to discount the importance of the Golden Globes, but the Oscar nomination for me was the nomination alone is sort of validation. Yeah. Finally, Sylvester Stallone is being acknowledged for his acting in a serious manner. Really, I mean, what happened with Rocky 40 years ago was kind of a phenomenon. But here it's an isolated performance that's being looked at and being considered, and it's really, really special. The Golden Globes, I'm out here on the West Coast, so we're on a time delay, and I was actually driving home from work on Sunday night, and my brother texted me and said, Sly just won the Golden Globe. And I can't explain the feeling I had, the rest of the way driving home, I turned off what I was listening to, the music or the podcast or whatever. And the rest of the ride home, I was sort of just gliding, and just I felt so proud for him and so proud for all of the fans out there that have supported this man for so many years. And I thought of how this award really sort of, like I said, validated the fandom. Not that it needs validation. And it was really special, and I was actually made sure to tune into the Golden Globes when they aired here on the West Coast. And even though I knew Sly was going to win, it was still an amazing moment. And the most incredible thing about it, Mike, was that Sly wasn't prepared for it, almost like he didn't expect it, which really made the moment that much cooler.
Yeah, I would agree. And I firmly believe he did not expect to win it. I mean, I think he was happy with just the nomination, honestly.
Yeah, totally. Jeff Hewlett.
Wow. It's going to be hard to add much to what Mike and you, Craig, said. But one thing that really stood out to me during his speech, they shifted the camera over to Michael B. Jordan for just a split second. And the look on Michael's face, and you could see the pride and the joy that he felt when Sly was up on that stage accepting that award. And I will admit, and I'm ashamed to admit, I was going into this as a jaded fan, and I truly didn't expect, I expected the Academy to the Hollywood Foreign Press, rather, to nominate Sly, but to give it to somebody else. So when Sly's name actually was read, I was speechless. I was holding my head in my hands going, I can't believe I let my jaded nature take over and believe that there was a chance that Sly couldn't take this award home. And I was so proud and so happy. And, like I said in my little intro piece, I usually don't watch award shows and I definitely don't watch red carpets, but I made sure to tune into the red carpet to this one because I knew that Sly would be there. And watching him come in, and he was so humble and so proud to just be there with his family, and it was a wonderful moment. I don't know if that's on YouTube somewhere or if you guys have been able to see it. Hopefully it's out there somewhere, but if you haven't seen Sly's short interview on the red carpet, look that up because it's really, really great. And you can tell that he's so happy just to have been there and to get that nomination and what it really meant to him. After all of these years of being snubbed on award shows forever and ever and ever, and it's a wonderful moment not only for the Sly but for his family and for all of us fans. And I'm so proud that he finally was able to get recognized for the abilities we all knew he had this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very well stated. And since you mentioned Michael B. Jordan, I just wanted to get in front of this before we continue. There was a lot of talk about Sly's failure to thank Michael B. Jordan and Ryan Coogler in his acceptance speech. And if you watch the broadcast, you can actually see him walk back towards the microphone. And it was something that he did during commercial break. And he did thank them. But I also want to say that in all the press I've read for Creed, he's been very explicit in his thankfulness for what Ryan Coogler and Michael B. Jordan gave him with Creed. So him not thanking either one of them in his speech wasn't a slight. It was more a guy caught up in a moment who really got lost. And
he
did write it. And like I said, all of the press he did leading up to it has supported how much those guys mean to him. And I think Coogler and Michael B. Jordan will understand that. So Jeff Ferry, your thoughts?
Yeah, the not thanking Michael B. Jordan is a complete non-story. That's how many times have you seen somebody get up there and for their awards and forget to, thank their co-star or their spouse or their kids? Like, they're up there, they're nervous, they didn't expect to win, it's whatever.
And you've got a clock telling you how much time you have.
Oh, yeah. And they all say it's like 30 seconds, too. Yeah. It's like, I've been in the business 50 years, I got 30 seconds, great, I got to wrap this up. Mm-hmm. What I liked about it is, at an award show, there's two types of standing ovations. There's the ones you gotta give and the ones that just happen.
Yeah.
The ones you gotta give are like, Lifetime Achievement Award, or we bring out this guy who had cancer last year. Yeah, that guy's getting a standing ovation. This was just spur of the moment standing ovation. This is the kind that your career earned.
Yeah.
Like, he earned this. Hell he yeah. didn't play it up for whatever. He hasn't had anything happening to him recently. Like, his body of work earned this. As much as, like, there'll be many a movie on here where we'll rag on him. There's also, even the movies we rag on him about, people enjoy. And that's all that was, I think. It's funny, he went from, I think in his mind, he was almost like, the nomination was the award for him at the beginning. Like, wow, yeah. just to be nominated for this. He's gone from that to, if you look up today, he's the odds-on favorite at this point for the Academy Awards. He's almost the one, you know, there's always one award where everybody's like, well, you know who's going to win that. I mean, yeah. That's him. Best Supporting Actor. People are like, well, that's going to be Stallone. And I mean, I'm looking at his competition. I mean, fine actors, all of them, but there's nobody in that category where like, wow, you know what? That guy had a great performance. There's a lot of, yeah, they're good.
Yeah, right. And I also think, too, it's also you exactly hit it. It's his body of work. And I think they're going to look back and they're going to say, OK, they gave it to the actor from Network because, you know, he was dead and they wanted to kind of honor him, I guess. That's why everybody knows Stallone should have won it for Rocky, but he didn't. So I think
can't
be
the dead guy.
You can't, exactly right. So I think now, you know, the 40-year career, the beauty, that the inspiration he has given each and every one of us to go on in life when hard times hit. I mean, I got to go with it. They're going to give it to him. I mean, this kind of sucks in a way for me because I can't deal with this. I can't deal with this waiting. It's making me nuts. I got to go to February 28th.
Oh, so Mike, I want to ask you, we know that
yes, sir.
Sly was nominated for Best Actor way back when Rocky came out. How do you weigh this nomination for Creed against the nomination for Rocky?
Well, you know, the nomination from Rocky, it was being the unknown, you can almost live with the fact that, you know, Rocky – I think it's very ironic that Rocky wins for Best Picture, but Stallone loses as the actor. Because I mean, that's just kind of right. Like, that's the right thing. Rocky won because of the love of family, or Rocky was able to make it to fight Apollo because he had a good team all around him,
yeah.
But he doesn't win the fight. So Rocky, the movie, wins. It was Stallone's baby, but he had a good team around him to get him to that point to be nominated, but he doesn't win. But really, he wins in the hearts of minds of millions. So now you put the 40-year career, like we've just been saying, you put that, all the highs and the lows, peaks and valleys, as he's been saying, of his career. Now you have the pinnacle. I mean, Stallone's own words are that the pinnacle of his career was Rocky I, you know, the first Rocky and all of that. But now you look back and it's like grandpa gets to have fun with the kids and take them to the ballpark while the parents had to be the disciplinarians. Well, now he gets to be the grandpa and sit back and just enjoy it all. And I think it's coming full circle. And I got to say, I think he's going to win. I think it's going to be better than the first time.
Yeah, and I think he's talked about how much, and he even talked about it in his Golden Globe speech, is how much it takes to just enjoy the moment. And Sly talks about how he's more prepared for that now.
I always hear that from people. You know, whatever you're doing in your life, you know, try to enjoy the moment. Just, you know, my wife always says, take a mental snapshot of what you're doing. Put that away for a time when you're really going to hold on to that and need that. And to hear Sylvester say that, you just see the wisdom. It's like part of him really is becoming like Rocky, you know. Mm-hmm. He has such great depth of wisdom, and we see it in all of his responses to all that he does.
Yeah, and I got to say that as impressive as his performance in the first Rocky is, it's filled with that anger and that guy that just wants a chance. And you compare that to the performance in Creed, and it's so much more subtle. And for me, that's what really makes this performance so amazing, is that Stallone was able to garner the type of attention he did for this performance with such subtlety.
Totally. Oh, my God. I mean, and the fact that, you know, the passing of his son, all of those things, all of the things that Rocky went through, we went through them with him, you know, like Adrian tells him in Rocky V, you know, we were all there. And I just can't help but think this has got to be one of the most, maybe the sweetest time of his life. Kudos to him for keep moving forward.
Yeah. And I mean, seriously, if we rewind the clock to 15 years ago, he was almost considered a washout.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's been so validating as a fan. Now, Jeff Hewlett, any thoughts on the weight attached to this nomination as opposed to the one he got for Rocky?
Well, I think that, you know, looking back in history now, and a lot of water has gone under the bridge since his Rocky nomination. I think we've all kind of grown accustomed to the fact that he didn't get it. I think this nomination coming so much later in life and for what you refer to as almost a one-off role, a reprisal of that Rocky character, I think this serves as almost a greater validation because he's got such a body of work behind him and he's got such a fan base behind him and he's been ignored by the Academy and other award bodies for his entire career. I think this is, and especially if he winds up winning this Oscar, I think this is going to be almost a smack in the face to all of the people who considered him a wash-up and who counted him out for going the action route, like Mike Kunda said. And if you go back and look at all of his movies, even the most action-y movies he's done, there's always a few really great acting moments in there.
Yep.
That prove what a great talent Sly is. So, and I think this would be almost like the icing on the cake, almost like a way that he could grab the Oscar and stand up on the stage and almost say, F all of you people who've doubted me.
Oh,
and
that'd downplayed be a great Oscar
me
speech.
Over the years, right? I would love that as an Oscar speech. They'd probably usher him right off the stage. The music would come on right as he started to talk.
Oh, who's going to come get him off the stage?
Yeah, guys, and did you notice, too, on the Golden Globes, everybody was getting cut off, and he went way past his 30 seconds. Yeah. No music, nothing.
Yeah.
They gave him the respect to keep talking. Oh, that was amazing.
No, but dare I say it, Mike, I think at this point, all of the different boards that vote on who is going to actually win these awards, I think they all have come to realize at this point, and I may be going on a limb here, but I think they've all come to realize at this point that they have been wrong by snubbing Sly for all of these years. And I feel like they're all coming around finally and realizing that, you know, we should have recognized this guy a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well said.
Jeff Ferry, your thoughts on each nomination?
Well, I mean, it's one of those, like, he gets nominated for Rocky. Yeah, he doesn't get it because the guy from Network wins it. But I'm wondering if the back of his mind back then, he's like, well, I'm young still. You know, I'll be nominated again. And then the next thing you know, you're making a movie that's not getting released in theaters anymore.
Yeah.
And you're thinking your career's almost over. And then, you know, he recovers. He comes back. What I haven't heard is, and I'm very happy about this, I haven't heard any of the backbiting about him getting nominated. Sometimes when an older guy gets nominated who's been around for a while, you get the, oh, geez, this guy got nominated. But every person who I know that has seen it from every walk of life, people I know, people on podcasts, all come out and go, wow, you know, whatever I might have been thinking going in, that was a great performance.
Uh-huh.
Like, there hasn't been anybody like, oh, he's getting a Lifetime Achievement Award here. I haven't heard any of that.
Yeah.
Which I'm pretty happy about.
Yeah, the performance really is undeniable. And Jeff Ferry, do you think that these nominations and his experience on Creed have, I don't want to say have been a wake-up call for Stallone, but do you think they're going to usher Sly into the next phase of his acting career?
I was wondering if he'll get maybe a slightly different role or slightly different roles offered to him, like, maybe someone will look at it and be like, I wouldn't have considered Stallone for this role. But now he's more – he could play an elder statesman, not a Rocky, but like more of a fatherly type figure. I don't have to put him in here. He's not the Expendables guy still. Oh, I got to put him in there. He's got to be the Expendables guy. You could just put him in a movie. You know what I could see him doing? A lot of – maybe carrying a movie, but being a guy that's in for 2-3 scenes in a movie. Like someone in a movie that dispenses some wisdom to somebody. You could very easily see him doing that type of thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he could play actual Yoda. He could be Yoda in the next Star Wars movie.
Yeah, put him back in some of these period pieces that are so popular now, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's not get crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, he did him at the beginning of his career.
Yeah.
Oh, see, when you said period piece, I thought you were talking like 17th century France.
Why not?
You know what? I would pay to go see that movie.
Me too.
God, I would invest. Well, and you know what though, guys? You guys are making a lot of sense because it seems like Sly did listen to the wake up call. He canceled. He killed Rambo. Rambo's done now.
Yes.
So So in a way, and he says it best himself. If he cannot top that last Rambo, that was near perfection. So if he can't do any better than that, that's why I think he struggled for so long coming up with the script. I mean, it just wasn't happening. And I am so thankful that he has put Rambo to bed.
Yeah, I got to tell you, the day that the interview that he did with Variety came out, which is really worth reading because there's a lot of great insights in it, especially surrounding Creed. But he did talk about retiring Rambo, and it felt real and it felt genuine. And I remember a wave of people posted it on my personal Facebook page and also on the Slycast Facebook page and on Twitter. And my reaction was one of I actually think Dave from the 80s Picture House really said it best, that the ending of Rambo 2008 with him walking up the family driveway or path to the ranch is such a fitting ending when you contrast it with the walk that he makes at the beginning of First Blood, and then it comes full circle with him walking home. So it really was, I think we've collectively all talked about what a great close to the series Rambo 2008 was, and that was my feeling. It really sucks that we're not going to get any more Rambo.
I know.
But at the same time, when you wrap something up so good, you really, really jeopardize ruining it. I think that was a lot of the concern that people had with Creed, but I think with Rambo, it's different.
Well, yeah, because if you want it to be Creed, you don't want it to be Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull.
Oh, let's not get into that, Jeff Ferry.
All right. So, Jeff, do you have any additional feelings on the ending or Stallone announcing that he's retiring his on-screen portrayal of Rambo?
Like you guys, I was happy to hear it. From the moment it was announced they were going to do it, I just kept wondering, like, what are you going to do? You bookended it so well. Like, I understood how Rocky Balboa ended with a good ending. But that was a character that could have a third act. Like, he could move on. Like, Rambo doesn't have that next act.
Yeah.
He had his act. What would the next one be about? Him back on the farm? Because if it's not that, well, then you just totally discounted what happened in the last movie. If he gets called off to do something else, you're like, oh, well, God, you know, I had hoped this guy had found peace. I guess he's never going to find it.
Yeah.
Like, you just basically ruined the last movie for me.
Right.
I'm happy you're thinking it ended where it ended. Like, yes. I'm good. You did a great job with that character. 3 out of 4 of those movies are really good. And we'll just leave it at that.
Jeff Hewlett, I know you talked a little bit about it, but any other thoughts?
Well, you know, you guys have already said that the ending of the 2008 Rambo was about perfect, and I agree with that. I love the fact that he's going home again, and it leaves a lot to your own imagination. So as people who love Rambo, you can sit there and wonder what happened when he finally reached those the houses, and what happened when he finally saw his family again. And I kind of like that open-ended nature of that, and that combined with some of the rumors we had heard about some of the ideas that were being floated around about what the next Rambo was going to entail, like Rambo versus some kind of mythological beast.
Yes. Genetically modified beast, yes.
Right. I was really skeptical, and when I saw that Sly had put Rambo to bed, I actually felt relieved.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know what, we're going to leave the ending where it was, which I thought and all you guys seem to think was about perfect. So, you know, let's not tarnish what a fantastic film the last Rambo movie was. Let's let that end where it ended, and we'll all be happy with that. Because we were happy with that when it happened.
Yeah.
So let's just let that be, and let Sly go on to make other movies. Let him branch out and do some other roles. And I think, especially after this award season, the sky is the limit now.
Yeah, it's really in his hands to, you know, really capitalize on this if he wants to. And it also allows him, I think, to be a little more selective maybe, and a little bit more willing to give himself over to other writers and directors. Which he has kind of done on the Expendables series, but those movies are kind of, you know, they get put into motion, and then it's pretty easy for those movies to get made. I mean, physically it's not easy, but what I'm saying is there's all the moving parts are greased and they know what to do. Mike, do you have feelings on that?
As far as what the him branching out, like with this.
Yeah, but at the same time, also, you know, the faith he or the trust he put into Ryan Coogler as a writer and director to sort of guide him. Do you think that's an aspect that Stallone can capitalize now on?
I do. I really do, because Creed made such a believer out of me. I know it made a believer out of him that anything is possible, mm-hmm. but you have to get out of your own head. You have to start to trust other people. And at his age, he can be so choosy, whatever he wants to do, as long as I think he lets new ideas get in, I think he really is going to be onto something. I mean, rumor right now is he's on the verge of taking Scarpa, that true life story about the mob guy turned informant.
Yeah.
So you know, that could be pretty interesting. You know, I still think you guys said it best, where he comes in for a few scenes dispensing advice, or maybe he's the one that can put someone in contact with a hero or something. I don't know. But something of that nature, or the Clint Eastwood. I hope he takes the Clint Eastwood route.
Yeah.
He can write more. I think we're going to see Stallone direct again. I hope he follows Clint Eastwood to some degree.
Yeah, yeah. And let's rewind the clock a little bit to, I guess, what, 17 or 18 years ago when Copland came out. And this moment really feels like what it felt like when Copland came out with all of the opportunities. Jeff Hewlett, do you think that's something that Sly's learned from, that experience where Copland really had so much potential to do things for his career and the opposite happened?
I would hope so, to be honest, because Copland was a breath of fresh air after some of the things that had come not long before it. So, you watch his performance in Copland, and I think that as a Sly fan, you start to realize that, okay, he's kind of coming back from, you know, going through the weird comedic period, and he kind of came back a little bit between the comedic period and Copland, but I think he kind of came – it was almost a true return to form for him as an actor. And I hopefully he will embrace this renaissance, the Creed renaissance, and move forward in a different direction than he chose to go after Copland.
Yeah. Mike, do you see any parallels between where Sly is now and where he was sort of after Copland?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No doubt in my mind. When I go back and watch Copland, I feel it was that subtle performance that we saw in Creed. You know, it's Copland and Creed, they both start with C. Maybe he needs to tag on that. I don't know. But yeah, I think Sheriff Freddie, the way Sly chose to portray that, he shed everything that he felt made him what he was, and he got back to really what he came in the business as an actor. And I think as the elder statesman of Hollywood now, I honestly believe, you know, he is so comfortable going to that role. I do. And it always I'm reminded of a conversation Arnold and Sly had one time when Sly had said, you know, how long can we keep doing these action movies? And Arnold piggybacked that by saying, I mean, come on, at some point, you know, we're going to be grandfathers. We're going to be taking our shirts off, rolling around the jungles at 70. And this was probably 15 years ago or something. And you know, they knew then that their time is going to be limited. So, again, you know, it's going to be great to see what Sly does. I mean, that's half the fun of it. But sadly, or hopefully, it will go far better than it did for after Copland.
Yeah, I almost feel like there's a story there that unless you're a Hollywood insider, we really don't know what it is. And
right.
For whatever reason, Sly and the Weinsteins, something happened there, in my opinion, and Sly's career really was sabotaged, and I don't think there's any other word for it than sabotaged, because it really seems like Miramax, he had a deal with them to make more movies that never happened. So
yeah.
Jeff Ferry, on the parallels between where Sly was after Copland and today.
Well, I'll say he's in a better position today because how I earlier said there was no backbiting, no bad talk about Creed, that was not the same with Copland.
Yeah.
Copland reeked of, I gained 50 pounds, give me my Oscar.
Right.
And I'm working for the Weinsteins, who are all into that. So I remember at the time, while people were giving him his due, saying, yeah, it's a good but not great movie, and it's a good performance, the whole thing, it had that smell about it. And I think that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. Like, okay, like especially at the time, he made a lot of bad movies around that time. People were like, oh, okay, buddy, you made a bunch of bad movies. Now you're trying to come at us with this. We don't want to talk to you. And while Stallone fans didn't feel that way because, you know, you like him and you're glad he's in a good movie for once, your casual person was like, yeah, whatever. Like, I haven't seen you for a while. Now you're trying this. And, you know, I know it's very hard to believe that the Weinsteins, those upstanding citizens, might, you know, have been not on the level with Stallone.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard such wonderful stories about them. I mean, go listen to one of Kevin Smith's 35 podcasts and just hear about how wonderful Harvey Weinstein is.
Yeah, yeah. So as we sort of said in the introduction, this episode is really devoted to celebrating Sly's career and just really sort of embrace the moment that we have right now as fans for him to be acknowledged the way that he's been acknowledged. And before we get any further into that, Mike, do you want to talk a little bit about that El Rey show, the director's chair that Sly was on, that I feel really kind of kicked off the whole Creed season?
Yeah, so, you know, we don't get – I always say the best interviewer on the planet, without a doubt, is Howard Stern.
Yes.
The way he gets everyone to open up, and it's not about the sexy talk and all that silly stuff. I mean, he probes deep into all the people he has. So I would say Rodriguez did an equally good job with Sly, and I have the sense that he only scratched the surface, really, because it was only, I think, what 40 minutes or an hour or something?
50 minutes, I think, if you take out commercials.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, you know, it talked about how he went into his painting, started his journey into the arts. He was always taken with legend and spectacle, Kirk Douglas and the Vikings, and then, of course, how the physical effect of Steve Reeves, he saw a path. And that's what Stallone's quoted as saying, I saw a path to find out who he was as a young boy. And I think that's something I want to hear more of in depth. I want to hear a book on this. You know, I want to read a book on this. And then, of course, Rodriguez got him to open up a little bit about being in Death of a Salesman. He got the part of Biff. It talks about it was all about writing. And if he knew he had to write something for himself, you know, without Rocky, there would be no career. You know, I always like hearing the journey, a person's journey on how they get to where they're at. And, you know, every time I think I'm so knowledgeable about all things Stallone, some new things do get brought up. And I don't know, did you guys pick up some new things from this interview?
Yeah, I mean, it was a chance for him to really get away from sort of those stock answers that you're used to giving over 20, 30, 40 years worth of press.
Well, exactly right. Like, here's one. I took a bunch of notes, and I apologize. My handwriting is so sloppy. But here it says, Rocky was retired. Just a story about a broken-down loan shark collector and pet shop girlfriend influenced by Mean Streets. Now, I know that Mean Streets was very influential, but I didn't know that Rocky was in such dire straits when in his original screenplay. That was new to me.
Yeah.
And he always loved the Cinderella story, which, you know, obviously that comes through. It's very Capra-esque. That screams Rocky One, which I think is why we all love it so much, maybe.
Mm-hmm. I actually think that right now we're due for a career retrospective style documentary. There have been a lot of those recently on personalities. And I think if you get the right director – I think you could make an amazing documentary on the life and career of Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, my God, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, oh, Jesus. You know, when he's sitting there with Rodriguez, and Sly just starts, he goes right into the Rocky theme. You just see him, his forearms are so flexed, and he's so tight with his fist, and he's like, bom, 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 bom. I mean, to hear Sylvester belt out the Rocky theme is so inspiring, because it still inspires him. And then he goes into talking about how 90% of what he wrote was worthless,
yeah,
but there's a germ of an idea. And he says that is pretty much the way it goes for all of his writing. He just writes right through it. And again, it's that theme of getting through life. Keep moving forward. You will find your way. And in this interview, he talks about being at the top of the steps and seeing your whole world in front of you. He talks about how it really is. He says it in Creed, but he means that it really is his favorite place in the world to come and to just kind of get away and reflect, which was quite beautiful. And by his own admission, we've all heard this, he had considered Rocky the peak at the end of the movie. And I love when he talks about this. If you could take a person's life at their greatest moment and freeze frame it, because the next moment, you know, he lets out that sigh as he's hugging Adrian in the ring. So at the peak, the film stops and the music goes on. And so, but then after that, reality sets in. In other words, you know, okay, you went the distance, the accolades, everyone's going to be yelling your name. But now you've got to go home and take the garbage out. You got to walk the dog. You've got to dust the furniture. So then it's back to reality. And I love that. You know, one minute you're the toast of the world and the next you're back home a normal guy. And I love that thing.
Yeah, I mean, that really is a perfect ending for the movie. And I know that there was additional stuff that they had filmed, but really it was an amazing choice. And it's sort of been aped, and it was aped by the film's own director, I think, in The Karate Kid.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So we're really, like I said, we're celebrating Sly's career, and we thought it would be fun for each of us to break down five favorite moments in Sly's life and or career. And this is just a little bit of fun. We're not getting too in-depth here, and we actually have some listener feedback as well. But Mike, do you want to give us your top five favorite Sly moments?
I thought you'd never ask. Okay. I will try to keep this under 7 hours. So, no, I'm going to go fast. All right. So, number five. Now, guys, remember, these are the peak things that have inspired me that have nothing to do. I'm taking my part of meeting him and spending time. I'm not counting that.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Number five, the speech to his son. You know, it's not about how hard you can hit, how hard you can get hit. That has seriously been how I've lived my entire life. And when I heard him say that in the theater, I was like, Jesus, man, that is perfection. So that's number five.
Not to cut you off there, Mike, but I got to tell you that a day doesn't go by where I don't see somebody on social media use that quote.
Oh, my God, you're so right. Do you other guys see that as well?
I see it all the time. Get people putting it up as the meme.
Yeah.
Or some variation thereof.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm glad you guys see it, because I think I'm seeing things, so I'm glad. It's like, you know, we're all out of mass hallucinogenics and we're seeing it and it's not really there, so that's a good thing. Number four, I don't know if you guys thought about this, but his comeback. So for 10 years, you know, after Copland, just under 10 years, he goes away. He's golfing, a few direct-to-videos. Okay, 2004, In Stone. Then he goes on to do Sly Magazine, Sly Moves, and The Contender. So this is he has to create again for himself. He's made the studios billions of dollars, yet none of that's good enough. Nobody wants him. He's done. So he says, what am I going to do? I love working out. Let's go supplements. That's going to get my name back out there. Then he does Sly Magazine. But he doesn't do Sly Magazine just to put out a men's magazine. He puts Sly Magazine out there there because he wants to get portions of the script of Rocky Balboa to see what kind of feedback from fans
right.
that he would get, because social media, it was either non-existent or it wasn't what it is today.
Mm-hmm.
Back then. So then he does Sly Moves, and then he does The Contender, the boxing TV show with Sugar Ray Leonard. And by the way, that had great music to it. And so that's 2005. So these are all like stepping stones. And then late 2000, well, actually New Year's Eve, he's in the restaurant with his wife, and he's depressed, and Joe Roth sees him, and bingo bango, Stallone kept himself, brought himself back. Number three, I would have to go with the Ali surprise of the 77 Oscars as Sly is presenting one of the awards. And he hadn't won anything yet, I don't think, at this point. And Stallone is announcing, and the people start laughing, and Ali comes behind him and takes his jacket off and says, "You stole my script. I'm the real Apollo Creed." And they start shucking and jiving and jabbing with each other and shadow boxing. And then, you know, Stallone just makes a lot of fun of it. But you can tell Stallone is so emotionally moved. He's so taken aback at this chance to meet one of his heroes. And that, to me, it shows great innocence and just so much. Like, he doesn't – Stallone has no idea what's ahead of him.
Yeah.
You know, he does, he's still an unknown quantity at this point, and that was just beautiful. I'd say the number two spot is a tie. The Golden Globes and the Oscar nomination, that was beyond – that was incredible for me, and I don't need to expand on that. We just did. Mm-hmm. And number one, this has been my one constant. This moment will never get overtaken. It is the 14th round of Rocky when he gets knocked down. And we see leading up to it in the montage of that final fight with Apollo, we see Rocky's hanging in there. And then all of a sudden, you know, Apollo is showing he's far outclassing Rocky. And we see the decline of Rocky. And then he gets knocked down. And everyone is around him that stay down. You've proven it. But Rocky knows if he doesn't get up, he has one little bit left to prove, and that is what I think about every time I'm on the verge of failure. So there you have it.
Excellent list, Mike. That are some tremendous moments and some great insight there as well. Jeff and Jeff, do either one of you have moments that are similar to Mike's, or are there any repeats?
Mine are all different.
All right, Jeff?
I have two repeats.
Okay.
I also have, my number five was also the 15th round.
Nice.
My favorite being when he gets back up and the announcers are like, "Apollo can't believe it." And he kind of waves his hand at Apollo, and Apollo has that look on his face like, I can't believe I got to go back out there with this guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so sweet.
He's like just recognizing the determination of like, nothing I do will put this guy down. Even if I could knock him out, when he got up, he would still keep coming.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, honestly, you could make a top five, like, Rocky of this list. You could make a top five, the original Rocky movie of this list.
I know.
But I there was no way I couldn't not include the Rocky speech from Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
Which is probably not Stallone, not Rocky. That might be one of the five great movie speeches ever made.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's up there with all the classic ones, like, even from the aforementioned Network and from – you know, all the classic movies, like, it's up there. It's in the conversation.
Yeah.
That made my list as well, just because it's such a powerful moment and something that I think everybody can relate to. Like we talked about how a day doesn't go by for me where I don't see somebody posting it, even if it's not attributed to Rocky. So, Jeff, do you want to finish out your five moments?
Oh, sure. So, my number four was his Saturday Night Live appearance in 1997. And the reason behind that is it's not so much it's a big, really big moment in his life. Just in mine, I'm about 17, 18 then, and obviously I'm a Stallone fan, I'm familiar with him, but you see him in movies. You see him in his element. To see him on that show, and every sketch is basically him making fun of himself in one way or another. And I know you had posted a different one earlier, but my personal favorite is the one with Norm Macdonald when he keeps going through his movies. And he's just like, stop, or my mom will shoot socks. And then they go through the whole skit at the very end. They're like, oh, look, he was a fan. He had one of your movies in his car. Oh, wait, never mind. It's Rambo and it's a porno. It's a porno. Just to watch him be like, that's when I realized, like, oh, he gets it. He understands what we all think. Like, oh, he's just some muscle head. But it's a really great episode. It always stuck with me.
Oh, yeah.
My number three is, and this is, I mean, we'll be talking about it in depth more coming up, is the opening scene from Cliffhanger.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I watched that minute and a half scene, just the scene when they're up there with the girl before we came on tonight. That scene gives me anxiety now to watch it.
I know.
And even with the, I mean, time has passed, the effects are slightly dodgy when they're looking down. It doesn't matter. I'm ready to have a stroke the whole time I'm watching it. Mm-hmm. Just him holding on.
When you're watching that carabiner stretching out.
Yeah. It stretches out, the thing pops off, and then he's got a hold of her. And at first you're thinking, well, I mean, he's Stallone. Look at his arms. He'll be able to lift her up. And then you realize this movie actually takes place in the real world where it's difficult to lift up a 135-pound human while you're hanging off the rope. Yeah, that scene, I realize it's in sort of a goofy movie, but that scene, that minute and a half, is nail-biting for me. Especially if you have a problem with heights or mountains or, oh, yeah, good luck watching that. All right, so that was that one. My number one is a personal thing, and that is Tango and Cash.
Okay.
The entirety of the movie, from beginning to end. That is a great moment for me. It's as if you said, hey, Sly, we're going to make a movie. We're going to throw Kurt Russell in there. It just has to be an hour and a half long. We don't really give a damn what you do. Just make jokes. Some of them will be funny. Some of them will be horrific. But it's going to be a good time, and we're going to pay you a lot of money. And you're going to have one person that really enjoys it, and that person's Jeff Barry. They made that movie for me. It's like I called them personally. Kurt Russell, I said, Kurt, Sly, make this movie for me. And then they did.
That's awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that is my – if you were like, hey, you need the – you're feeling good. You need to throw one movie in there. That's the movie that goes in.
Yeah, and that's the great thing about Sylvester Stallone's career and a lot of other actors' careers is – we can each pick our own favorite moments and moments that mean something to us. So at this point, I'm going to jump into...
Oh, wait a minute. You're skipping me.
No, and me too, Jeff. Believe me, we'll get our time. But I wanted to jump into some of the listener feedback to break things up and keep things fresh and just get a different perspective. And this is from Cam in Melbourne, Australia, who we've talked about on the show before. I think he's contributed before. And he says to us, Happy New Year, Slycast. Great to have you back and looking forward to the new podcast. So thank you, Cam. His top five Sly moments in no particular order. Rocky 3, the final montage where Rocky and Apollo are both working in sync on their footwork. Rocky 3, the favor fight with the final freeze frame as they are both about to connect and the Eye of the Tiger kicks in. Tango and Cash, whole film is a favorite, but like the bad cop, worst cop scene, great chemistry with Kurt. First Blood Part 2, Murdoch, I'm coming to get you scene, and The Specialist where he throws the obnoxious guy through the bus window. He felt like doing that at times on his work commute. There are plenty of others and hard to choose from. Keep up the great work, and really pleased Stallone won a Golden Globe. Well deserved. That, again, is from Cam. So, Cam, thank you very much.
I got Man Bat. You want me to do Man Bat?
Yeah. You know, I want to talk real quick about one of Cam's favorite moments, the favor fight. And I know we're going to get into spoiler territory here, so if you haven't seen Creed, I guess pause the podcast, go see Creed, and come back. But Jeff Hewlett and Mike, your discussion on our Creed special was so great. I had such a great time listening to you two guys talk the movie after you had seen it, and schedules didn't permit us all to sit down. So we got the two of you guys together because you were the two guys that were closest to HQ at that moment and could go on and turn everything on and record. So, but you guys talked about the scene where Rocky reveals who won that fight.
Oh, God, yeah.
Now, I want to sort of put my two cents in here.
Nice.
And how did they determine a winner, Mike?
I think in the movie or like fans in general, is that
no? What I just you mean in reality, there was no ref present.
Oh, right.
So who was scoring it, or was it a knockout?
Well, you know, I think when you read the books, I think when you read Rocky IV, the opening couple of pages, they talk about how Rocky was slightly more bruised than Apollo, but they both have bruises. And after the fight out front of the gym, they're saying their goodbyes, and Duke is holding the door open for Apollo to get in, and Rocky's getting into the Lamborghini. And Rocky turns to Apollo and he says, you know, that's a great hat you got there. And he goes, well, you like it? It's yours. And he says, Apollo says something to the effect, it's the least I can do. So I guess by beating Rocky and Mickey's, he gave him the hat that was like maybe a little tip off.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I don't, maybe. I'm, you know.
Jeff Ferry, any thoughts on that moment?
Yeah, I mean, unless there was a ref off camera that we didn't see. Like as soon as the movie ends with the things with their gloves coming towards each other, what you didn't see in the painting is right off to the side they'd hired a ref for this an underground fight they were gonna have.
That's right.
I mean, otherwise, yeah, it's either gonna be a knockout or I guess I don't know. If you just somebody, I guess at the end you could just say who won.
Like, well, I think the robot said it. The robot was their ref.
Yeah.
It said, happy birthday, Paulie. Apollo, you won.
Yeah, that's why Rocky sold his ass, because he said that Apollo won.
So maybe they personally scored it each. They said, hey, I gave you this round and you this round, and then they compared notes.
Yeah, after the round, they're like, I think I won that round. I was 10-9 in that round. I got a lot of jabs in.
But I think, don't you guys think, though, ultimately it's in Rocky's nature to say the truth here? In other words, Apollo was always the better fighter. Always. Yep. He had the speed, the everything. And of course, you know, Rocky has that great line when asked by Adonis, how did you beat him? Time beat him. Time takes everybody out. It's undefeated. That has got to be – I want to know, did Stallone come up with that, or did Coogler and Covington? Because that was such a beautifully well said. And I think Rocky knew Apollo was the better fighter, right?
Yeah, but yeah. At the same time, to expand on that, Rocky had a bigger heart.
Yeah, right. And it's also – is it one of those things where if they fought 10 times, yeah, Apollo wins 9 fights?
Right,
but
right.
It didn't matter because that night, Rocky wins in
yeah.
Rocky
well
2.
Well said. Exactly.
Yep.
All right, so Mike, do you want to get to Man-Bat's notes?
Yeah, let me get Man-Bat. How much do you love that name, Man-Bat?
Great. He is one of our earliest fans. I love when I see him pop up on our social media, you know, favoriting and retweeting stuff on Twitter.
Where is he from? Is he local or is he like out of the country?
He lives in a cave.
Guano. Nice. All right. Hey, guys. So Sly has been a personal hero of mine since I was a kid and still is. So happy that he won the Golden Globe the other night, and I hope he wins the Oscar also. Loved Creed, and I've seen it 5 times in the theater. Don't know if any of you guys has seen it that much. Yeah, but I'm ready to see it 5 more times. Now on to my top 5 Sly moments. Number 5, Rocky 3, when Rocky's fighting Clubber in the rematch, and Rocky keeps saying, ain't so bad, ain't so bad, you ain't nothing. And when he pushes Clubber in the face, I swear I leap out of my chair every time. Love that moment. Number 4, Creed locker room scene when Adonis finds out about the cancer. Wow. Sly just lays his heart out in that scene. I think that scene did it for me. Number 3, Rocky, when Rocky tells the promoter that the poster is wrong and he walks out with that song Alone in the Ring playing. My 8-year-old kid saw that and told me he wanted to give Rocky a hug and fix his poster for him. Oh, that's sweet. I just love that because my kid connected with it and shows me that my kid is going to be a good one. So thanks, life, for showing my kid to be thoughtful. LOL. Number 2, Rocky, what about my prime Rocky, what about my prime scene? Okay. Mm-hmm. Sly and Bird just acted the heck out of that scene. Need I say more?
Right on.
Oh, my God. Yeah, such a brilliant scene. Number 1 scene, Rocky Balboa, no surprise here, ain't about a hard you can hit scene, is personal to me. My dad had passed a few years before. My life was in a mess. And when I saw that scene, I honestly felt like it was a message from above. I turned my life around and stopped blaming other people, and I wised up. Stallone really knows how to reach people. Well, guys, sorry for the long email, but those are my top 5, and let's hope Sly wins the Oscar. Love the show and can't wait for many, many more. Man Bat.
Excellent. Very, very, very cool. And so many great moments there. And
oh, absolutely.
Again, Manbat, thank you so much for your support. We really, really enjoy when you guys give us feedback and your opinions on things that we talk about here on the show. So now, without further ado, Jeff Hewlett, I am giving you the spotlight to go over your top five Sly moments.
Wow. You know, I have to say I've had an epiphany listening to all of you guys, Jeff Ferry and Mike Kunda, and the write-ins from our listeners, and realizing that all five of mine are completely different than everybody else's. And it makes me feel like all of us are such a great group.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
That all of us can find so many different moments of joy that mean something to us from Sly's career and all kind of come together at the same time. So mine are not in any particular order. I had a hard time ranking them from 1 to 5. So I'm just going to kind of go through them in a random order. So none of them are more important than any of the others. But so I'll start out with the opening grocery store scene from Cobra.
Yes.
I absolutely knew that'd be
on your list.
This sequence. Come on. You guys know how much I love Cobra. I could not go through this without mentioning a scene from Cobra. This is such a great sequence. I love the fact that Sly can play this badass character. He's facing off against this psychopathic sicko, but he still has plenty of time to get in some great one-liners, and he's so confident that he's going to win this scene that he doesn't even care. I mean, he's drinking a beer that just got shot by a bullet. I mean, this is a great, great scene. I absolutely love it, even if it is a little bit on the goofy side. Let's see. My next one is a little bit more, I guess this could be a little bit morbid, and I think Mickey's death scene from Rocky III is so poignant. I can't stress enough how great Sly's acting is in this scene. And I think one of our listeners pointed out that he kind of gets a chuckle out of it. But, you know, I think all of us going through our lives have come across times where we've been completely distraught by something that's happened in our lives, either, you know, death of a loved one or, you know, loss of a pet or personal tragedy, where we've kind of just broken down and cried and just been completely inconsolable. And I think that we as people realize that, you know, how dire situations in our lives have to be. And to see that Sly could do that as an acting moment on command and on camera, knowing that he could capture the grief that it takes a real tragedy to come out of us in real life. I think that for me is a humongous moment. It's always one of my favorite, no matter how morbid it is and how sad we are to lose Mickey. I think Sly's performance in that proves what an incredible actor Stallone can be.
Right on.
Yeah. So, and along the same lines, the ending, the breakdown between Rambo and Troutman at the end of First Blood. I think that Sly captures the feelings of veterans coming back from being in a war zone and seeing the horrible things that these guys have to go through, and Sly never having gone through that, but being able to capture that feeling and put it on the film is just an incredible moment. And every time I watch that movie, that scene really, it breaks my heart. Mm-hmm. To know that he as a, you know, he's a great soldier, he's an incredibly skilled guy, but the trauma that he's been through is so emotional that he still breaks down and is able to transfer that to us through the film is amazing. Kind of more of a goofy one is the throat rip scene from the latest Rambo movie. I absolutely love that. I remember sitting in the theater next to Craig Cohen, mm-hmm, after that movie came out, and I was just giddy at how great that movie was leading up to that scene. And there was a guy sitting next to me. The theater was absolutely packed. So it was, I think it was almost sold out, Craig. I don't know if it was completely sold out, but I think it was almost completely sold out. There was this old dude sitting next to me, and he just got the greatest joy from seeing me kind of getting into the movie and chuckling at some of the funny action scenes and just being completely immersed in this. And when Sly comes up behind that guy, grabs him by the throat and just rips it out, it was gory and disgusting. But as an audience member, I remember just being at the height of emotion there and just being so happy and proud to see this incredible Rambo film. I absolutely love that scene, and it's every time I see it, I feel the same way. And at the end, I guess you guys will probably laugh at this because I have to mention another one of my favorite Sly movies that I feel doesn't get enough credit. And this is from Lock Up. Mm-hmm. The scene where Sly and Warden Drumgoole are having their final face-off, and you know he's got Drumgoole strapped to the electric chair, and Sly is strapped to the lever to light up the electric chair, and he's forcing Drumgoole to confess his crimes. So this is a moment where you've got Sly in a movie that people can kind of throw away and discount as kind of goofy, but Sly is acting solo against another incredible actor in Donald Sutherland, and both of them give this amazing performance. You see the expressions on Donald Sutherland's face as he knows he's about to die. He's got a convict who's ready to pull the lever down and end his life, and he's willing to say anything to get out of that scene. And Sly is determined, farcically, to make Drumgoole believe that he's going to pull that lever down. I think this is two incredible actors who are coming together to deliver an incredible, incredible scene. And I think that's really downplayed in Sly's career, but I think hopefully all of us can agree that's an incredible moment on film for Sly.
I completely agree. Absolutely.
Excellent.
All right. Very cool. Jeff, some very unique choices there. And
I'm not hearing any on Drinkenstein yet.
I wanted to pick that's an honorable mention.
It's a dishonorable mention.
That was really the most challenging thing about this was coming up with just five moments. So I know when we get further in this series, maybe we'll get into more in-depth lists. So I want to read one final listener email before we get into my choices. And it's from Steve Ricardo, who's been on the show before. He was a guest on our Rocky V alternate cuts episode, I think the work print. And we talked about the 80s remix with Steve. So he says, "Hey guys, it's Steve Ricardo. Just thought I'd chime in on my top five Sly moments. Number five, Dead from Nighthawks, a great precursor in 1981 of what was to come from some epic Sly screaming moments throughout his career. Number four, Break Now, You Mickey Mouse Piece of Shit from Demolition Man.
So he just likes Sly yelling.
Yeah. Such a random way of putting it, especially when you're 9 to 10 years old and never heard it put that way in your life before regarding something that's either broken or on the fritz. Number three, Come On, Vallon, Come On, Vallon, Come On from Expendables 2. I'm sure Mike loves that. Just goes to show that even in old age, Sly can still get you pumped whenever he gets angry. Notice a running theme here yet? Number two, Nothing Is Over, etc. The big speech from the end of First Blood that Jeff Hewlett talked about. One of Sly's greatest acting moments, monologues. Very rarely back then or even now did the action hero, the one-man militia, ever break down and cry. And his number one, Jeff Ferry will be very happy to hear, Rocky IV training montage. Sorry, but I got to cheat here and just include that entire sequence. If not for this scene, I don't think that I've gotten into weightlifting exercise at 14 years old and still be doing it nearly 20 years later. Now, he did also include some honorable mentions. Death Race 2000, when he says, "I told you to stop playing that music." Very funny scene. Rocky III, Mixed Death. I know I've probably stated before that Sly's babbling makes me laugh, but I'm happy or not to say that the older I get, the more the scene is actually starting to hit me where it should. Rambo walking to the hut after tying his headband in Rambo 3. In his opinion, Sly was at his peak. Cliffhanger, remember, shithead, keep your arms and legs in the vehicle at all times. And then kicks John Lithgow. And lastly, this shouldn't count since it was edited in the trailer, but my friends, brother, and I always repeat that clip from the Bullet to the Head trailer where when Jason Momoa puts the phone to Sly's daughter's head, and when she answers, Sly screams and slams his hand on the steering wheel, So very cool, Steve.
Oh, my God.
Thank you so much for those moments. Very, very funny. And I guess now I will go over my top five favorite moments. And,
drum roll.
Yes. And Steve mentioned Death Race 2000, and that for a long time was my favorite Stallone movie. It is still one of my favorite movies of all time. And there's a line, there's a lot of great Machine Gun Joe lines in that movie. But the one line where he says to the girl that's with him, people may think you're cute, but I happen to think you're one very large baked potato, is a line that always cracks me up. And I often quote it. So Death Race 2000 there. I'm also going to piggyback on Jeff and Steve's pick for the big speech at the end of First Blood. I'm going sequentially here. That First Blood was a very important movie for me. And that ending scene really showcased what those guys were going through and what they dealt with after that war. And it's also just an incredible, incredible, incredible performance. I again am piggybacking on Jeff Hewlett's choice of the Cobra opening scene in the grocery store. And more importantly, the line about go ahead, I don't shop here.
Yep. Hell yeah.
Another time where Sly mastered the art of the one-liner that sort of got exaggerated in the action genre. I'm next going to go with one of Jeff Ferry's picks. I'm going to go a little bit more microscopic with Sly on Saturday Night Live in 1997. But more importantly, the sketch where he played a guy that worked at the computer store that had previously been an Orange Julius, and they had to retain him. I think Sly is so funny in that scene, and it was really great to see Sly flexing his comedy chops again. And my final favorite moment might seem a little wacky, but it is Spy Kids 3D Game Over from 2003. And I got to say that it is a favorite moment for me because after so many years of Sly going straight to video, it was an opportunity for me and my friends to go see Sly on the big screen again. And it was Robert Rodriguez who took a shot on him and sort of got him back up on the big screen. And Mike referenced a lot of moments that Sly had during that period that sort of got him back in the spotlight. But for me, seeing him play that wacky villain in Spy Kids was a special moment for me. So those are my top five picks, guys. And, you know, love them or not.
Can I say something here?
Yeah.
I would like to say, when you first said Spy Kids, I almost hit the hang up button. But then you actually made me think for a second. I haven't seen Spy Kids since I was captured by Czechoslovakian spies, and they made me watch it till my eyes bled. But you bring up such a great point. He was brilliant as those multi characters, the German guy, the hippie. I mean, now that I start thinking about it, I'm going to fast forward everything else except his scenes, and I'm going to watch that again because I remember walking out of the theater in a disguise saying, wow, he was actually pretty good in that role. So thank you, and what a great list, Craig. No doubt about it.
Thank you. But, I mean, prior to that, it had been at least, what, 2 years since we had seen him in a movie on the big screen?
You're correct.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and, you know, not that Driven was a great cinematic moment.
We don't even say the D word in my house, okay?
So that is our collective top five moments. And feel free on social media, on Twitter, at our Twitter page, or on Facebook, in the Facebook page, just to let us know your top five moments. It's a lot of fun, and there are no wrong answers. So,
there's some wrong answers. Listen, let's be honest. If you put something up there that's a wrong answer, I'm going to let you know that it's a wrong answer.
So don't cite Oscar in your pick.
But you know what? See, I hope fans of that listen to us go on and on and on. I hope they really do put their top five on there, because I did this on my Facebook page, and I don't know. I got maybe 20 or 25 people that posted stuff back, and some were in line with what we said, and some were pretty varied. And there were two that I really wanted to make. Like, I would have to, my number three was almost going to be the First Blood speech, you know, with Troutman at the end there. And then somebody said the when he sings Paradise Alley and jumps rooftop to rooftop.
Oh, wow. Hell yeah.
What a great – I mean, that's just got to be an honorable mention.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. That opening sequence made me fall in love with that movie before I had even seen it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Well, I feel slightly different about that.
Nice.
Really?
Yeah. What we're going to have to do eventually, Mike? We're going to have to sit down and talk through the movies that we did prior to you joining the show.
Oh, man, we have a blast.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to thank everybody for bearing with us as we sort of celebrated Sly this episode. I know we broke format, and it had been a while since we've done a regular format episode coming on our Creed special. But I promise you that we will be back next month with an exciting discussion revolving around a movie I know a lot of us are looking forward to talking to, and that is Cliffhanger.
That clip's not going to hold.
And I'll also be sitting down either in a part two of that episode or as part of that episode with Mickey Chapman and Matt from Rambo Mania to talk about the work print of Cliffhanger. So look forward to that. And Mike, any parting words before we go?
Just the power of positive thinking for Oscar. Let's make this Oscar a good Oscar in Sylvester's life. I've missed you guys. Really, I don't like going this long without, chiming in on all our thoughts on Sly's movies. So looking forward to Cliffhanger.
Yeah, excellent. Jeff Ferry.
Yeah, I got nothing.
All right, we'll see you next month then. Jeff Hewlett.
I'll echo Mike Kunda's comments and keeping my fingers crossed for the Oscar win. The Golden Globe win was amazing. I was so happy to be watching that live and hearing Sly's speech at the end. And I'm keeping really, really keeping my fingers crossed for this Oscar win. I feel that Sly deserves it. And it will be a cumulative victory for all of the great movies he's put out over the years that have been completely ignored. So I'm really glad to be back here with all you guys, and I'm looking forward to our Cliffhanger discussion.
Right on. And I think that does it for this edition of Slycast, the Sylvester Stallone podcast, and we'll talk to you next time.
By an actor in a supporting role, the nominees are Christian Bale in The Big Short, Tom Hardy in The Revenant, Mark Ruffalo in Spotlight, Mark Rylance in Bridge of Spies, and Sylvester Stallone in Creed.